This is a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who had had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, and she praised God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosened from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said this, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. God's word is life.
Well, our scripture reading today is about the bent-over woman. Don't you think that's an interesting way to be identified? She doesn't have any other name that we know. History has named her and judged her and labeled her by her appearance only, by what's wrong with her. So it's the Sabbath. And the Jewish people have congregated in the synagogue, and Jesus is there to teach. And like every first century synagogue, the men are in the front and the women are in the back. Jesus lays his eyes upon a latecomer, a woman who's bent over or bent double. She is quietly making her way towards her seat, and her head is bent to the ground. She has been living this way, we understand, for the last 18 years. And in biblical language, 18 years simply means a very long time. And we know what happens when we spend a very long time looking at the ground. We miss a whole lot of life that goes on around us. We heard that she was crippled by a spirit. Now, to me, crippled by a spirit says that something has gotten hold of her, or has assumed power over her, or taken control of her life. Now, we don't know what spirit had crippled this woman, but it seems to me that for her, there was no apparent way out. It enveloped her and surrounded her. And when we ourselves find that we are under the power of a crippling spirit, it can seem like there is no getting away from it, no moving on. Whether those origins are in a traumatic childhood event, an abusive relationship, an addiction, a compulsion, even one of those tapes that keeps playing over and over in our heads telling us that we are no good. The options are endless. And when we can't find an obvious way out, or when we try time and time again to stand up against it only to fail, we start saying, "Oh, I guess that's just who I am now." We even let others identify us with labels like she's fat, or he's a drunk, or isn't she so controlling, or he's just so self-centered. And those labels stick. We become bent down by them. That is the bent over woman. She is everyone who has struggled to rise above the pain of oppression or exclusion or low self-worth or judgment. She's everyone who has struggled with illness or loss of any kind. She's everyone who has been told you can't and believed it. She's anyone who has lost hope. And yet, in the great reversal of God's realm, Jesus cuts through all that gets in the way. And with love, Jesus proclaims, "Woman, you are free from your ailment. You are free to be included. You are free to live in the grace and mercy of the one who loves and cares for you. And most of all, you are now free to love yourself because you are precious and cherished." And we heard how Jesus laid his hands upon her, and immediately she stood up straight and began to praise God. But human ways kick in again. And in the face of a miracle, people get confused. How could that happen on a day when the rules say it shouldn't? And the leader of the synagogue looked at the faces of those people who had questions that he couldn't answer. And not knowing what to say, he just deferred to the rules. But here's how Jesus responds. Another reversal. He calls the leader of the synagogue a hypocrite. And then he turns to this woman and calls her daughter. He names her and claims her. And he looks at the crowd and he lovingly reminds them that this woman, the one who has been made to feel less than for all of these years, is every bit as important as the leader of the synagogue. And he reminds them that the family of God is not about marginalizing those who struggle or reaching outside the circle to help those who can't help themselves, as if it's some magnanimous gesture on our part to make us feel good. Instead, he reminds them and he reminds us today that no one is outside the source of all love. Now, I don't know what may have you bent over today. I don't know what may or may have a hold on you, or how into the margins you might be feeling. I don't know the name that you have come to know yourself by, and I don't know the labels that you wear. But I do know this. All of us, to some extent, live bent double. And most of the time, nobody sees and nobody knows that. Except the one who loves us exactly as we are and who names and claims us as beloved. And I know if you're like me, the temptation is to turn a deaf ear, to think that, that word beloved is for everyone else, but it can't possibly be for me. So here's one more thing to think about. When Jesus addresses the crowd, what does he call the spirit that has kept the woman crippled all these years? Do you remember? Satan. He says, "This woman has been bound by Satan for 18 years. Now, Luke's gospel was written in the Greek, and the Greek word for Satan does not mean the guy in red with the horns and the fork and the tail, right? Doesn't mean that. It means accuser. And so I leave it to you to decide who are the accusers in this story that we heard. And I leave it to you to decide who the accusers are in your own stories. But as always, it doesn't end in God's realm with the accuser. I invite you to listen to a different voice as we come to share communion together in a few moments. Because Jesus, the bread of life, longs to meet you where you are and free you with the voice of love.